Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
You won't believe all the things you can do at the new shows you can see, like Lido Day Parade.
Starring the award-winning comedy of Bobby Berasini's Orangutans, a Las Vegas spectacular.
The Stardust Hotel and Casino.
It is August 1989, and it's so hot. A solar flare from the sun creates a geomagnetic storm that affects microchips, leading to a halt of trading on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Congressman Mickey Leland and 15 others die in a plane crash in Ethiopia. A dredger collides with a pleasure boat on the Thames and sinks in 30 seconds, drowning 51. And hundreds march through Bensonhurst to protest racial killings. But you don't care about all of that, and that's a shame, because maybe present-day life wouldn't be so fucking bleak. But nevertheless, you are the whole world, and the whole world is you, because you are young and recently opinionated, and that's all that matters. After a full summer of your parents being weird sneaks, you've decided you can't beat them, so ignore them. That's right, they're gonna have to recognize you're basically a functioning adult now. Sometimes you imagine your new life out there when you're 18 and ready to have your own apartment near a progressive campus where you will either double major in something important or be undeclared. But for now, you're ready to take that first step into real adulthood. You need your parents to see you as the separate self you've become, and that starts with the most independent thing a person your age could have. You need to make your parents get a second phone line, one that is entirely yours and will have your outgoing message that you are ready to start writing. Speaking of the perfect friends to help you craft that Groovox awesome recording that shows you care but like are totally busy right now, there's a brand new issue of your favorite friends who have no idea you exist. Time to live vicariously. That's right, it's time to
listen to Sassy.
It's a new issue. It's a new month in the year of 1989.
August.
That's right. In August 1989, I moved to Ontario. That was the big event.
This is
not a competition with Pam Move Bloor Ribbon, but this was one of the bigger moves of my life.
That's a big move.
And I said goodbye to Regina, hold for giggles, and I never lived there again.
You exited Regina?
I did.
You pulled out?
I did.
Regina birthed her into a new world.
Yes.
It did. The spine line on the August 1989 issue is back in black. And I guess that's a reference to the first story or first feature. I'm not sure. I mean, the model is also in a black jacket.
Yeah. And I stopped too. I was like, okay, I guess because it's we're back to school and we're back in black because she's
right.
Wearing the thing. And I think you are giving them too much credit to
perhaps.
Assume that the
perhaps.
Gambling story is what's
maybe.
On the spine. But maybe, maybe. I didn't think about that, but.
Yeah, could be. Trigger warning for this first feature. It is about gambling and about addiction. It's called Why She Gambled. It's on page 54. It's by Catherine. And here is the subhead. Kim started playing blackjack in Atlantic City when she was 16. Soon she was betting almost every night, winning thousands of dollars, buying herself tons of clothes, making a name for herself at school, and practically living in the casinos, which were giving her free rooms and expensive meals. Then her father turned her in. Why does this sound like everything was great and then her dad fucked it up for her? Like, you got to put some of the bad stuff in there, too, because it's obviously in the story, which is, you know, surprisingly long, notably long, even relative to other first features that we've gotten about fucked up stuff. But yeah, this deck makes it seem like, wow, her dad's a jerk. And this sounds pretty cool to me on the whole.
And she also looks pretty cool. There's a picture of Kim right there. She's fucking tough.
Yeah.
She gets to wear that. She wears the button-up jeans that are so high that you get to fold them down.
Mm-hmm.
Tuck your shirt in. It's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about how she was underage when she gambled. Obviously, it says so in the deck. She was 16. But when you look at this picture, like, yeah, she looks 35. Like, I'm not surprised. No one ever stopped her.
Can I borrow the keys to the car? Love her.
But I'm not sure that people get stopped gambling very much ever. One Christmas we went to, when my sister was still underage, we went to Las Vegas with my parents for Christmas. And she used to play slot machines all the time. And not only was she, I guess she was 18 probably, because she was in college by then. But my sister is 4'11" and looks young. She still doesn't, she's 40 now and she still looks super duper young. And only rarely would any casino security person be like, hey. And if she won, they wouldn't take the money away. Like, it's, you know, this is not something that's being strictly enforced for obvious reasons. But as the story goes on, we learn that part of the reason her dad turned her in is that he was at the time a police officer in Atlantic City. And there's a shot of him among all these other photos that are illustrating it. And the shot of her is like, fine. It looks like a typical sassy picture. There's casino shots that look like they were caught on the fly secretly because you're not supposed to take pictures in a casino. And then there's this shot of her dad. And if this is not his actor's headshot, it should be. He is very good looking. And it's like, it's so moody. I mean, there's nothing else to say. Go to the visual aids and look at it. Lenny Cohen, where is your soap opera? Because he looks like he should be starring in one tomorrow.
I mean, it is a headshot, right? Like, he was an actor that ended up in Atlantic City as a detective. I looked him up.
Oh, really? No, seriously?
I mean, he is a detective. I think I found him.
Yeah.
He was a detective in Atlantic City in the 80s, but obviously after acting didn't work out, is all I'm saying. Like, he came straight from Broadway.
Oh, okay. I thought you knew this for a fact, because you're good at doxing people, but you're just speculating. Yes, very possible.
I'm speculating the broken past, mm-hmm. but he, from the best I can tell, he was a detective, which right. is probably also part of the turning your kid in thing.
Yeah, sure. They should have made a final ABC daytime soap ad page. Remember those ones? Mm-hmm. That, and this one would be Snitch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's exactly that photo. Yeah. He doesn't have the name, but he's got everything else. He doesn't mm-hmm. have that, like, Colt Stockton or, you know, wherever. Yes. They just take, like, yes. the first part of two-part Texas names and they jam them together. You know, Fort something. You
Remington
know?
Magnum.
Yeah, why is your first name Fort? Texas.
So, Kim, back to Kim.
Yes.
She tells Catherine everyone wins the first time they gamble, which I think is probably more that every gambler won the first time they gambled, that it's not universal that everyone wins the first time they gamble.
Well, I will say, I've watched a lot of people win on their first time gambling, and didn't always tell them you're going to win, but then they'd be like, what happened? And I was like, well, it's your first time, and I just taught you how to play, and now you've won, and that's mm-hmm. how that goes. I do right. a lot of watching people gamble now instead of gamble.
How much is a lot?
Well, it's a percentage. Like, here, so Kim is, like, winning, and I would like to say that, like, the first time that that Catherine tries gambling in here, she doubles her money in like a second. It's yeah. not the win, it's the when you stop
right.
that is the hard
right.
part. So you do win, but then you're always like, oh, I have four more days here. Then yes. you give it all back. So yes, she, my friend and one that I can think of, she was just putting in $5. She won $250. And she was Whoa. Like, what do I do now? I was like, you don't gamble the rest of the time we're here and you go get a pedicure. And like, you did it. You beat it. You're done. Mm-hmm. You have to be done now.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the harder part.
Well, after I thought about it, I realized I also won on roulette the first time I played roulette.
See?
And it was a 30, because the roulette is 35 to 1. And it was like yeah. a just straight one on a number. It wasn't like a cross right. two or whatever. But yeah, I yeah. never played roulette after that, though, because I'm not a problem gambler. I have other problems. Also, this is not one of them.
But you knew the odds. You were like, that's never going to happen again. Instead right. of like, I'm the one.
Right.
I'm lucky and special and I have a system.
Yeah. yeah. And it's sad for Kim because, like, the more they talk about it with, I mean, it's all obviously all of it is sad for Kim. That's why she's in the magazine. But when she's describing it to Catherine, she's like, my problem is I can't walk away. And if I could, and Catherine's like thinking you would be fine. And then the end of the sentence is, if I could, I could be a professional gambler. And Catherine's like, oh, no.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was really in it. And I mean, there's a lot of, you know, glamour in this life. You get free things. You get, you know, when it's mm-hmm. going well and you're young and you are taking care of yourself in a way that you can't elsewise. We're just going to say that's a word. Mm-hmm. I'm high with nearby gambling. I'm just saying that I get it. It's, but every gambling story is a win, lose.
Right.
It's too bad that that it, they can still really just captivate you with you're different and you're winning in a new way. Here's a free, here's a card that makes you have extra money that you can't use anywhere but in our casino. It's not real money. I really like watching people win. So I do like enjoy sitting at a table and watching someone double down and and then triple down and then you, it splits. We're going to split it. Like one of those rare hands where you're like, all the odds are in your favor and everybody at the table's like, oh my God. Like, I love a lady shouting, oh my God.
Is that best. Lady you?
Yes, sometimes. But it's great. And I understand. I really do. I understand where it's like, why can't I do this all the time? Like,
sure.
Why does this have to have bad things? Why do I have to? But I can't put down a chip without still thinking of what bill it could pay instead.
Right.
Still. Which was how I never became a problem gambler. Because I never had that chip token detachment of this isn't money anymore.
Well, and the other thing is, like, there's a reference here to, like, computer gambling somewhere, I think, or possibly that's one of the headlines that I read in the New York Times when I was going through them. But that, you know, there was a new level of gambling was coming that was going to be available. You would be able to gamble on your TV. And now it's like, when I play my stupid ball sorting game, I get ads for, like, a lottery app where you can buy tickets on your phone. And then there's, like, you know, all of these sports, you know, fantasy betting stuff that you can do. You can play video blackjack against real people with real money. Like, God bless anyone who has a problem, because it's only harder now.
And they're teaching kids from pretty young, you know, because they're playing games online that have these ads that you click and you pick. And sometimes they're just straight up slot machines, like, or pretend roulette machines.
Yeah.
Inside of games, they'll have an ecosystem like Fortnite or even the game I play, Apex Legends, where it's like, if you want stuff to use in the game, whether it be actually like functional or just like dress up stuff, like, you have to buy a thing that might have one of the things you want in it. It's like a loot box, right? You know, all these stupid services where it's like, it's a mystery nerd box and we'll send you four things and you won't know what you're going to get until you get it. Isn't that fun? Question mark. No, I just want the stuff I want. I don't want random shit opening up. It's like, well, that was a fucking waste of $20, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. People that do that, I don't get it. You can call in and explain why loot boxes appeal to you, but fuck, you've been sold a bill of goods. But in video games, they'll do that. Like, you have to pay whatever it is, a dollar, to get a digital thing that costs nothing to make after you pay somebody to design a hat.
Right.
And then you open it up and it's like, well, that's not what I wanted. Fuck. And then, like, you know, if you really want it, you end up buying 20 of these and maybe then you'll get it. You just spent $20 for a digital fedora to put on your dude while you're playing. Nobody gives a shit what you're wearing in the game. Like, seriously, nobody cares.
This episode, we're just doing a Starlog Jam while we're doing this episode. We don't have Starlog to take jam. A break. There's this way that she describes Kim that still sounds cool. in the intro of this thing, Kim, okay, so they're at this place called White House, a sub shop in the heart of Atlantic City, and very famous, Kim keeps telling me.
And the seat of government in Atlantic City.
Well, there are pictures of celebrities
oblong
on the
office.
This, and you said this is a famous place, Tara?
Nothing for the oblong office?
You're the interruption in the middle of Pam's sentence.
That's the way it works.
Right. Very good. Oblong office. Yes, there's a harrowing New Yorker feature about, like, it's called The Death and Life of Atlantic City, and it's really more of the former, but they talk about the White House sub shop in there. So it is famous. And I read this feature is 7 years old and I still remembered it. I've also never been to Atlantic City, but yes, the White House sub shop it's still open.
Try the West Chicken Wing sub.
Oh, yeah.
You that hesitated. You didn't have the courage of your conviction.
No, I was trying to think of it. I knew I had joke. Something there, and I...
anyway, if you want to sample their wares, they ship via Goldbelly, I'm sure. If you want a sub that costs $48 by the time it gets to you, you can.
Wait. So you're going to get, like, a day and a half old sub
I don't know if they just send you, I would guess, I have not looked into this, that they send you the ingredients. Ugh. It's all the pieces and then you assemble it. I'm just guessing.
Well, for half that price, I'll give you directions to your local grocery store.
It's now located inside the new Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. So take that for what it's worth.
I noticed when I was looking at the menu that the actual sub shop, you know, the one where it's all cool and it's got all the, you know, it looks like an old laundry store inside and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing without meat. But the one at the Hard Rock Cafe has one token vegetarian. Like, here's your hot lettuce sub or whatever it is. I was like, enjoy. You rabbit-eating so-and-sos.
Anyway, back to E. coli.
Back to this exchange, Pam.
Okay. Kim's just resprayed her frizzy brown hair, so it's standing straight off her head, and her pink lipstick is fresh and thick. She's what I describe as hard, especially in the way she leans back and tilts her head while she talks, like she's sure she could pull one over on me. About the only things that get her excited are clothes and gambling. In that way, she seems right at home here, puffing on a Newport and sipping a Coke. Yet one of the first things Kim wants to tell me is how much she hates this town. Just look around, she says, scrunching her hair distractedly. This place is like Hicksville. I love Kim.
I hope Kim is okay.
She's talking about that Atlantic City is this weird place. She's describing it. Atlantic Avenue, the main strip, is like a dividing line between two worlds. On one side, there's a tight row of decaying gabled houses and colors I can tell used to be bright and cheerful, semicolon. Smudge-faced kids are riding their bikes through puddles with raggedy dogs barking at their back wheels. It looks like a Norman Rockwell painting that's been left out in the rain for a few years. And then I just imagined, she was like, oh, I'm done. I'm going to take a nap. That was my Pulitzer. Can they give us a Pulitzer even though we're a teen magazine? I hear her ask herself. So Kim's dad eventually turns her in, finds out that she stops coming home and she's like always at the casino. And he like goes to all the casinos with a picture of her and says, please don't like let her gamble. And they're like, okay, okay. And of course they don't reinforce that. So he turns her in. And Dave, I like what you wrote here in the notes.
So her dad goes to the casino, rats her out, snitches on her, but then also takes her chips and cashes them out. So it's a real win-win for dad.
Yeah, that's called civil forfeiture, and it's legal if you're a cop. Anyway, grim, grim stuff. Pam, do you want to send our listeners off with some facts?
Sure. Of U.S. residents 14 to 21, approximately 2.1% struggle with problem gambling, and another 6.5% are at risk. The National Council on Problem Gambling operates the National Problem Gambling Helpline Network at 1-800-522-4700. It also has text and chat services so that if you're gambling online, you can access help the same way that you play. One call, text, or chat can get you to problem gambling help anywhere in the U.S., 24/7, 365. It's available and 100% confidential. You can also go to gamtalk.org. And if you're concerned or anxious about the gambling of a family member or a loved one, visit gamanon.org. And don't buy NFTs.
Whatever you do, don't take their phone number and use those numbers on Powerball this week, because I'm doing that.
They're only lucky numbers in that order on your phone. Second feature is called Cheerleaders as a Concept.
Give me a C.
C.
Oh.
No, he's just going to show me that C. Oh.
Oh, I should have done that. Damn.
Yeah, I thought you were going to.
Sorry,
I was
everybody.
Walking the dog yesterday. I was like, he's going to give me a C.
Yeah.
I'm going to see that C. Yeah. I should have done it.
Dang.
All right, go ahead. Spell your thing.
N.
N.
C.
C.
E.
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 P.
P.
T.
T.
What's the spell?
Concept.
Yes.
Scott Heiser is the photographer here, and you can tell that he's a better photographer than they're allowing him to be. He's like a professional photographer because the main photo here is fucking great, and then all these other ones are like, he would have been like, well, no, those aren't the pictures. No, why are you making those colors? All the other pictures are so weird. Mm-hmm. Like all the tones, the filters they put on them.
So Christina is our author, and she comes in a very Christina mood about all of this. But it's the concept of the story, the cheerleaders as a concept of the story. Is
give
like,
me a C!
No.
Oh.
There's like, you know, ideas that people have about cheerleaders. And then, you know, is the stereotype true? Some are in her investigation, some aren't. As usual, there are ways where the writers have some blind spots about their own complicity in whatever they're reporting on. For example, She writes, I try to purchase a Diet Pepsi, but the machine is empty. What do you expect in a hotel full of cheerleaders? You're also trying to buy a Diet Pepsi. Like, why are you slamming them for drinking diet soda when that's also what you're trying to do? Like, acknowledge you're all equally subject to and victims of patriarchy. Like, that's what you have in common with them. Ugh. Christina. But the other thing is that she keeps asking them, like, are you popular at your school? And they, in almost the exact same terms, are like, we are the most popular girls in our school. There's no way to unpack this, and I'm sure it's not a term that's still used by children today. God, I hope. But, like, popular is a real loaded and inaccurate term in the way that, like, you know, soche from Outsiders times was not great either, but it was closer to like what they're talking about. Because if they're saying that we're so popular and everyone hates us and is jealous of us, like, that's not popularity. That's just being like famous at your high school, which is not the same as being, you know, popular. It's a dumb thing to be annoyed by. And yet here I am.
Like, Diet Pepsi is popular.
Yeah. In terms of kids, the people that are actually have the most friends is like, that would be popularity. But I'm saying, like, popular became the term for, like, as I said, like being a celebrity at your school, being famous, whether you're actually liked or feared.
They go to some stereotypes, whether or not cheerleaders are popular, then whether or not they are bitchy, if they're real athletes, if they only travel in packs. It is like 16 ways to say, are they popular? Or do they get more guys? And each time, I think the girls, the cheerleaders try more and more tactfully, be like, I mean, yes, but also I work really hard. Like, yeah. I have to maintain a GPA. Oh, and she was like calling them sus for saying they practice 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not that hard. They have before school, during school, after school. We're there sometimes like 12 hours a day.
Yeah. She's at the National Cheerleading Championship Finals, where it's like, these are elite squads, where like the cheerleading is like your job. It would be like being, you know, an NCAA basketball player, where it's essentially like, this is how much you have to work to get to this level. You're not just like going around high schools talking to random squads.
But all of this stuff really made me miss watching Bring It On. And I looked at the notes and you had written the exact same thing. So I tried to find Bring It On online and I found a high school musical that is impressive. Jeffersonville High School in Indiana has their entire production of Bring It On. And you will be like, this was not how high school worked when I went to high school. How are they doing this? Like, it's extremely impressive. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Kenesha Zell, their artistic director, who is not fucking around when it comes to their high school theater season. Our next feature is Summer Romance is Good for You. And the author is Karen. And I was like, okay, I don't subscribe to any of this. That's it. The whole thing is her being like, have a fling. It'll be fine. No one will know. Be someone else. You'll learn things. You'll be brave. And then just remember, like, it totally doesn't matter. What? What? You'll forget what he looks like by the time midterms hit. The best things about a summer fling last way longer than the 3 months. What? Karen. Karen.
I don't know. Some of this is good advice. It's like, make you less obsessed about boys, potentially. If you're like, you can just hang out with them for a while and then that's it.
Yeah, we got to remember with Pam, everything is forever.
Everything is forever. I know that.
That's what it says on her business cards. Pam Rubin, everything is forever.
Now that you've touched this, you're contractually obligated to keep in touch with me for the rest of your life.
Forever.
I follow you on Twitter.
Pam's 15 hard drives of everything she's ever written. It's called D plus G. That word, I don't know what it is, but I have to save it.
Look at this picture of this model, Curtis. How can you have him for 3 months and then that's it?
Because he lives across the country. You can't be together.
For now. For now.
For now, you're 15.
Not always. Then I'm 16. Then I'm 17. Tara, when does my life belong to me?
Pam, look at Curtis. He already has a girlfriend at school. He is just fooling around with you as well.
That's heartbreaking.
Curtis is married to the sea. He surfs every day.
He is married to the sea. His surfboard.
Curtis is the old man in the sea in many years from now because he looks like a young Robert Redford.
Kind of does.
Oh, man. Look at his hair and how it's just a little over his eye. Oh, it's probably not even his real picture. These days, this is who Curtis tells you he looks like, but you've been on a computer for the entire summer having a romance with someone who does not look like Curtis in any way, shape, or form.
He sent you this photo illustration. You're like, why is it in black and white? He's like, don't worry about it.
Yes. Why does everyone around it have hair teased from the 80s. There's a Hard Rock Cafe button. I just feel like Karen is lying right at the beginning of this article. I swear every word of this. Dear Sassy, I swear every word of this is true. I had a summer romance once. It all started on a visit to my grandparents' house in Arvada, Colorado. Wandering aimlessly around their neighborhood one hot and fateful afternoon, I noticed this guy washing his dad's camper van.
Great start.
Right. I was doing a pretty good job of walking past nonchalantly yet noticeably, you know the way I mean, when his Saint Bernard ran out and jumped me. Again, no, just reading some Stephen King before she wrote this. I screamed. He called off the slobbering beast, smiled apologetically, and said, "Hi." This is straight up from my Johnny Depp fanfic. We started talking and ended up spending the whole rest of my vacation together. I can't quite remember what he looked like. So that she can't be nailed for it, the lies. But it was great. In just a handful of weeks, I learned stuff and felt stuff and discovered stuff about myself and about feelings and about guys in general.
What? Stuff's doing a lot of work there.
Stuff is doing a lot of work.
Now we know who named Stuff you wrote.
Even though I never saw him again, every time I see a Saint Bernard, I remember. The point is, those 6 weeks, 3 days, 8 hours, and 27 minutes of romance changed me. And in every relationship since then, I've used what I learned that summer. I can see no reason why a summer romance won't be just as good for you. Bullshit.
The hole in this story, and I know you're going to say, okay, you know, did they really like click that quickly and everything like that? The whole statistics at the end of that story are pinned on the assumption that when the dog came and jumped on her, she checked her watch. And knew the exact minute that it all started.
Dave, wouldn't you?
Wow.
Wouldn't you?
Just have a go in the summer where the stakes are lower. And if you fuck it up, it's back to school in September. Like, that's all it's saying.
Well, I understand that. But you point out here what I think is negligent in this article, which is, I don't think she did this.
Oh.
She's just saying, like, go fucking do this. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And you don't know the ramifications. What if he moves and all of a sudden Sandy is at your high school,
right?
And it fucks up everything with the T-Birds. And then you got to join track.
It's based on everything else we have learned about Karen before and since. I do believe that she is capable of having this affair. The details about this with the dog and the time and whatever are, like, definitely suspect, especially I don't remember what he looked like. Yes, you do. Even if you didn't have a camera because it was the past. But, you know, saying I don't remember what he looked like, but I remember what his dog looked like because all St. Bernards look the same. And so I think of him every time I see one. That's cute. But Karen does seem like she's a very, she, does not have Pam tendencies in terms of making things meaningful.
Is that in the DSM-4 manual?
But you know what I mean? Like, she seems like she could get away with this and it would be fine.
It's pampering.
Like, she just keeps it moving. I couldn't do it either. I'm saying I believe that she could.
Thank you, everybody. All I needed was that of, like, you know what? Sometimes you read advice you can't follow.
Yeah,
yes.
The proof that I am not this kind of person is that when this was in the August issue, I was like, why wasn't it in May? Summer's already over.
Tapping her watch. TikTok, people.
We have another content warning here for discussion of suicide and rape, because our fourth feature is All the Things You Wouldn't Tell Your Friends, collected and editorialized about by Karen. These are the results of a poll that they had in an earlier issue. So they're, you know, they've collected it based on all of the respondents that wrote in. Dave has a critique right up the top.
Article with the results of a poll. Don't jam them all up like they're text in a paragraph.
Yeah.
Went out with a certain guy, 16.5%. Dressed differently, 15.2%. One is red, one is orange red right next to it. Just the big block of text. And I stopped reading because I was just like, look, it's data. You format it like data. Like, come on, guys. Duh.
The other thing is that when they're in the paragraphs where they're laying out all the percentages, they don't always do it in the order of, like, most to least. Sometimes it's random, which is also bad. Bad data journalism. So Dave is right. And I'm not surprised that he didn't read this either. I don't think he would have it if it had been presented in a more legible fashion either. One of the people talks about winning a locker answering machine in a contest. And I had to look it up. And you can still buy these on Etsy and eBay. What a weird, weird thing. It was like, because the rest of her story is it immediately got stolen. So there's a lesson in there somewhere, which yes. But yes, the class act, express it, is a locker message machine. So your friends could walk by it. You keep it outside of your locker and they could leave a message for you if you weren't in the same classes.
I wanted one so bad.
Yeah, fascinating. At some point, there's a reference to someone getting flack, F-L-A-C-K, which is not correct. You get flack, F-L-A-K. I didn't even call out diffuse, like diffuse tension in the gambling article. It's defuse, like defuse. But I guess I did because get your editing shit together, copy editor, Mike. One of these says, asks, do you know someone who's in a cult? And they say nearly 20% of respondents' friends are in cults. And I understand, as Pam says in the doc, this was satanic panic time. So there could have been people that were claiming that they were who weren't, who were trying to be cool and making up stories. But 20% for cults in the late 80s seems rather high. It's not like this is Los Angeles in the 70s. Let's get a grip.
Or they're just really into horses. Oh, wait, that's cults.
Colt is also the person that you're referring to, the gambler from
the detective.
With the Texas name.
It is impossible to know how many times I read this article to find out if I was normal, but I do remember on the phone giving people these questions and making them answer them, you know, because it's stuff they're not supposed to tell their friends, but that's how you know. Are you really my friend?
Right. Am I wrong? It says 78.3 is the result for called a guy and hung up. I feel like that should be 99.9. Everyone has done that, right?
What if you just drop the receiver and run away without actually hanging up the call?
Yeah. You know, I wasn't worried about being normal in terms of all the stuff with like sex and drugs and drinking and stuff because I was not doing any of that and nor was it anywhere close on the horizon. This was the nerd shit that I was worried about. Like, only 78.3? Come on. Some people are lying or are way cooler than
Do you remember there was a time in our lives, and this is just enraging, that this actually was possible, that you could call somebody and you could have a conversation and you can fucking hang up on them. But if they didn't hang up the call and then you picked up the receiver 3 hours later, it's still them on the line.
Yeah.
And they were holding your phone hostage. You have to tell them, hang up. So this call will be disconnected. Mm-hmm. Hang up. And they're like, nope, your phone's my phone now. That actually is something. You'd imagine like you're chatting on text, and if they have the dots, you can't do anything until their dots disappear. Like, that is a modern equivalent.
Oh, God!
Help! Crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a real... You're right. That's a real...
I remember, because I was over at our next-door neighbor's house being babysat, and Gina, the babysitter, was having a fight with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend did that to her. So that phone... Which, what if there's an emergency? What if I shit my pants? And
what if?
It was like a big pants shitting emergency. And Dave was we needed to call several doctors to the house. Couldn't happen because the boyfriend was on the line, tying up the line. Anybody calling in, get a busy signal. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's a bad, bad man.
They got married.
No!
This is also the house, if you remember way, way back. The mother of Gina was the one that had the Rod Stewart poster in the basement. It's like, ah, look at that guy. Rod Stewart, eh? I'm like, sure. Great. And me, there was a ping pong table that they obviously played with once and then folded up against the wall. I'm like, can we play ping pong? Mm-hmm. No. Well, then why do you even have a ping pong table, Mrs. X?
Oh, boy.
This was a formative mother-daughter relationship in your life.
Have you ever taken other drugs? Yes, 26.9%. Karen editorializes, and that's exactly 26.9 too many. All right. Then the next question is, if so, what drugs did you take? Marijuana, 78.5%, of course, and then various much smaller percentages for everything else. And Karen writes, your attention, please. There's no such thing as a harmless drug. Even marijuana, once believed to be scare quotes, safe, is definitely addictive, erodes your lungs, and weakens your memory. Do I have to remind you what kinds of damage any of the others can do? Good. Maybe lecture harder about drinking, because that's way more harmful, potentially, than weed. Just saying.
I don't know that I had seen any of these drugs by this age, that this magazine would have been in my hands. Not in front of me, like or what my friends had. My friends didn't have.
And your dad's like, well, when you're 21, we'll do that too.
Yes, so absolutely. To hard absolutely. Drugs. I mean, once I know how the system works. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Now you got to get a really good straw, Pam.
You got to get a good straw. And then also you have to just unspecified pills. You got to start there.
Yeah. I didn't know anyone who had done any of these drugs either. But when by the time I moved to Ontario, every friend I made, they all did acid. And smoked hash out of did bottle tokes. Would like smash open a bottle toke and do hash.
I don't know what a bottle toke is.
It was like their way of making a pipe, basically, those for hash that you had like
weird, like very specialized skills you get when you really want to try something that is bad for you. It's like the people that can open a beer bottle like anywhere, you know, like they're falling on a parachute, you know, and they're in the middle of nowhere, literally like in the middle. They're like half a kilometer off the Earth's surface. And there's like, oh, there's a seagull. They grab the seagull and they snap it off of the wing. Like they can do it anywhere. No matter where they are, they can always open a beer bottle. This is the same necessity as the mother of invention.
That seagull example is too specific to have only come to you in a moment.
He had to wing it.
It was the same thing, but it was a chocolate bar. Look, I'm
there, wow.
She said, wow.
There's also a question about, have you ever been forced to have sex? 16.6% say yes. If so, who forced you? And there's, you know, boyfriend, friend, etc. Karen editorializes, Jane says, I'm not allowed to use the word for what all these people should really be called. So out of curiosity, I looked, and to Teen Vogue, our contemporary, you know, teen mag for contrast. And if you search the term rapist on that site, 369 results come right up. So I don't know why Jane forbade the use. It seems pretty cut and dried, but I guess I get it.
Have you ever stuffed your bra?
No.
Oh, he's read one now. He's read a page. He's read one of the questions. He's ready to go. He's like, I'm going to read this later.
I wish.
Have you ever stuffed your shirt so you can get big muscles?
I stuffed my bra when I was like, but not for school, you know, like a curiosity stuffing. I don't think I ever went to school stuffed. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
What if you just ate a lot?
Thank you. Yes, Dave.
Have you ever stuffed your pants so it looks like you got chicken feet? You put like two socks on either side of your existing foot and covered it with something and you're like...
The fuck are you talking about? Is this a thing you do?
No, Dave's doing his own poll.
But is it a thing you can do or did he just make it up now like the
pelican beer? You ever stuff six socks in your stomach so it looks like you have a protruding six pack?
Absolutely.
Like it's both fat and a six pack?
Of course. How do you think I get into the cool clubs?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever stuffed your mouth with socks so it looks like you got two giant buck teeth?
Mm-hmm. That's how I have a good dentist. Dave, what do you think is your strongest quality?
My ability to find anything to stuff. Let me hear your body talk.
Beautiful. Wow.
Soya sauce can prevent amnesia, or can it?
No.
I know.
No.
I know.
Oh.
I'm doing a bit.
I see. Sorry.
Anemia is what it can prevent. And I just recently watched a video that was on, I don't know, Reddit or something about this, showing this guy make soy sauce. I don't know how we ended up with this product because it is a 17-step process. Mm. And like, at what point did some farmer just like, oh, fuck this. You know what? Let's just use ketchup.
The next item is about sending away for a free copy of Advice from Teens on Buying Ellipsis Condoms. You can write to the publication manager at the Center for Population Options, which as soon as I read that foundation name, I was like, that sounds like some straight up eugenics shit. So I Googled them. The summary of one of their publications also sounds eugenic to me. Since 1986, this annual cost study has provided a measure of what it costs the taxpayer each year to support families that began when the mother was a teenager. Oh, okay. Nothing about anyone's well-being. It's purely about economics. But there did seem to be some respectable stuff there, too. So I don't know. Jury's out. If you know anything about the Center for Population Options, call 720 Sassy Go and tells us. They celebrated their 10th anniversary the following year. There was a story about that in the LA Times, but they don't seem to exist anymore, much like reproductive rights. Ha ha.
Some tips for getting rid of athlete's foot. Be sure to wash your feet with soap and water daily, then dry thoroughly. Don't forget between your toes. Go barefoot whenever possible. When you wear shoes, powder your feet with cornstarch or baking soda first. Always wear socks with shoes. Stay away from tightly fitting shoes and don't wear the same pair 2 days in a row. Your shoes need to breathe too. I just want to say that if you have athlete's foot, don't be walking around barefoot because that's how you spread athlete's foot.
Have you considered laminating your foot hole?
What? Where's my foot hole?
I knew that was coming.
I mean, how bad do you feel if you're like a big, fat, slovenly guy and you get athlete's foot? You're like, oh, man. I didn't think I'd get this.
I thought I was immune.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
He's not an athlete.
Oh.
Doesn't it seem like the kind of thing should have been renamed by now?
Yeah.
It's a real dig at athletes.
Yeah, it's true.
Really, because I think of it as like, that's sort of a badge of honor. You get to say.
Like, how come let's call it funky foot?
Funky foot. I think fewer people would go get a salve or, you know, wouldn't call a doctor and be like, I got a real case of funky foot.
They go to the doctor and as they're explaining what's happening, they're doing a little jig, a little dance.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with you? Itchy. Funky foot? Yep.
Funky foot.
I got the funky foot. I was trying to play it safe, not doing any exercise so I wouldn't get the dread disease known as athlete's foot. Now here I am with stinky green feet and they got mushrooms growing off of them. Section starts with all right, starts with vegetarian dilemma.
I got one of those. Next, we have a new feature called It's My Life by Kathy Bonner, 15, from Thomas S. Wooten High School in Potomac, Maryland. And this is basically just a page of, I'm a girl, I'm in high school, here's a bunch of pictures of stuff I've made, and me with my sister, me with my friend, a bad photo of her high school, what she wants to do, her hobbies and stuff. She seems fine. It's like, I wish there was more space. Devoted a second page to this. Because the photos are kind of small. That's my only critique of this. But basically, this is the sassiest thing in the issue. It's the kind of thing that would make readers morbidly jealous while also giving us something to aspire to because they found the most effortlessly cool, cool girl in America. And that's Kathy.
I grew up on a commune is this month's It Happened to Me. It says that communes are now called intentional communities when I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, become back in style again because of COVID. because, you know, fuck it. We're all just like, fuck it. What if I just live with my friends and we make our own rules?
Mm-hmm.
It's the adult version of the pox party or whatever they used to call
yes.
it.
Yes.
Couldn't find where TJ's commune was or what happened to it because it's just called barn. Like some people would say room. Like it's very, he's very room describing barn. And he misses barn and needed to escape barn equally. Clearly barn was a commune where all the parents kind of got together and then they made a lot of babies and there were kids everywhere. And like every commune at first, it's all wonderful because we're all taking care of each other and the kids are happy. But then the kids get older and recognize that, hey, these are drugs these people are taking. Oh, that's heroin. Wait, a junkie. Why do I know the word tweaker? And it's not as like, cute. He's trying to say like it's still maybe she. I got the sense that TJ might have been male, but now it occurs to me that it's probably she. But in any event,
they took ballet lessons, which I thought girl, but that could just be gender normative.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought TJ was, but it doesn't matter because
it's TJ Hooker, starring William Shatner.
Of course, yes,
obviously. But by 1977, my father felt that the people at barn were starting to devote too much time and energy to cocaine and not enough time to farming or raising the babies who were crawling around. And that's a sentence where I think TJ needs to like go, what? Wait, maybe it went on too long. Maybe by 1975, I should have been out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, or she, TJ says, fortunately, my father was never very active in the needle scene. And I've always been really anti-drug because I saw early on what it can do to people. Anyway, TJ says, it's so great to have grown up in this environment. It broke down sexual stereotypes. Everyone's a useful member of the household, not just exploiting women as housekeepers while men did the real work. Growing up without the usual stereotypes, I was able to dream as much as I wanted and never limit my goals. Also, I guess knows how to give someone an LSD trip in a good way and how to water the marijuana plants, which was part of this person's daily chores. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I don't think I could commune.
Oh, no. No, thank you. All I wanted to say about this is that barn sounds like what you would call a commune if you were trying to market it to millennials. I can see the ads on the subway with the WeWork font, except it just says barn and it's all millennial pink. And it's like,
barn is the new iteration of a farm to table restaurant that only gets their food from communes. Barn. Anything like that eventually devolves into your science fair group project where it's like, oh, I guess I'm cleaning the dishes again tonight.
Yes.
Right? You know, Reginald, who is now known as...
Sky.
Yeah, Sky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just like, well, you know, if I'm, it's not really communal if I'm doing all the work, isn't it, Sky?
Yep.
And Sky's like, what?
I totally agree. And having watched We Crashed, knowing that the basis of WeWork was like the Adam Newman who founded it grew up on a commune and like wanted to bring the commune values, or he was from a kibbutz, that he wanted to bring that to like shared working spaces and then also expand that to a bunch of other, you know, industries and stuff. They had the school that failed where it's like, this is the basis of it. It's going nowhere good. I've already seen how this story ends, so. Well, we have a weirdly timely situation in what he said, which is, do you think abortion should be legal? 76% said yes. No, was 24%. I don't have a ton to say about this other than too soon, except that this has been a problem. You know, the loose collection of laws around abortion in the U.S. has been a problem for 30 plus years, and someone could have taken action many points before 2022, and they didn't. And that's why we are where we are, because everyone believed Roe is settled law when conservative jurists that were specifically chosen to be conservative wackos testifying before the Congress. People lied.
Alex Winter is the celeb asking here, and they take a picture of him where he does look like he's quite pondering.
He does.
He answers.
Abortion, you say?
Abortion, well, hold on. And then he gives an answer that is a little like that. He says, I think abortion should be legal. It would be nice if abortions weren't necessary. And that sentence frustrates me so much.
Talking about more like if, like, they give you Star Trek technology, just to beam the fetus out.
Yes.
Because he says, I don't think that women who are having abortions are excited about it. But the whole thing, that is why it wasn't codified, because it's like, well, I just, wouldn't it be great if they weren't necessary?
Yes. That's why it's between choice and abortion. Like, you're either pro-choice or pro-abortion, where it's like, it's not about choice. This is about healthcare that people need. And when you talk about the issue in terms of like, well, we all agree it's fundamentally bad, right? So let's just accept that it's going to happen anyway and then deal with it how we have to. And it's like, this is why. Yeah. You're right. This is why the problems happen, because it's never not been stigmatized. Abortions are healthcare. Give to your local abortion fund.
Jesus Christ. Speaking of signs and wonders, we're going to do the horoscope. If you're an Aquarius, you're going to be like, she's reading mine this month. That's how we'll try it until you say, I don't like this. And by you, I mean Tara and Dave. Here you go. It's going to start off with a bang. The sassy horoscopes, if you've never read one, really breaks down the months and lets you know the certain dates that are important. And then just like always ends with day to live for and day to just stay in bed, which, you know, any person who knows how to read into their horoscope is like, that is when my period comes. Here we go. And what do you have to show for it besides that raging tan? If you spend some time on the 5th cleaning out your closet or writing some letters, you'll feel a lot less guilty when you start spending every waking moment with a new Mr. Right, a pal's brother, on the 6th. One warning, be careful in and around cars on the 25th.
Wow, this is so specific. Oh my God. Jeez.
That's so specific. In and around cars on the 25th. And then, but then it's like day to live for, 21st, just stay in bed, 19th. Maybe stay in bed on the 25th. Why did they do that?
Yeah.
But what if your bed's one of those racing car beds?
Oh my God. What if your silver spoons in your life? It was so ominous that I had to share because just like, man, why can't be a Gemini? It was just like, get some clothes. So it's like, be careful in and around cars on the 25th.
Oof.
Anyway. Thank you for visiting this month's horoscope. Aquarius, be fucking careful out there.
It is time for Stuff You Wrote. Doo-dah, doo-dah. I'm just going to start it off, and I'm just going to do a big edit to the first one to make it way, way better.
Oh, boy.
From Jordan Marshall, Provo, Utah, writes... A poem called My Mother's Hands, My Mother's Hands, Chop Chop, End.
I knew you were going to do it, and it was still funny. I'll also just very briefly add, her weathered hands were smooth and young like mine once, and she doesn't mind. Those scars and wrinkles are beautiful to me. If you're a teenager, your mother is like 40.
Yeah.
So shut the fuck up. Her hands are fine.
She's like that scene in Game of Thrones where the Red Witch just mother, yes, chop, exactly. Chop.
When she's cooking,
give
her hands go crazy.
Scallions. Chop, 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 chop.
The next stuff he wrote is pieces by Charlotte Sometimes from York, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And it's in all caps.
Sure
and
is.
It's called Screaming.
Ah!
Everything about it gets better. Charlotte Sometimes from York, Pennsylvania. I live there. The poem's called Screaming.
Ah. Oh no, Eric Stoltz is here.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it is about Eric Stoltz. The boy without ears looked down as he sat on the edge of a big city roof, disturbed with the violence, crime, and poverty which existed below. He was deaf to the crying and screaming of the tiny visions beneath. He did not hear the sirens or the horns or traffic on the street. The only thing he heard was the pain, the anger, and the confusion screaming from his heart as he soared into the violence, crime, and poverty which puzzled him so.
Doesn't that sound like a Law and Order start?
Yes.
Well, it sounds like the start.
Disturbed with the violence and crime and poverty which existed below.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Oh, it occurs to me now that I look at Jesse L. Posculp's piece that Sassy made the decision to all caps these things. That's
yes.
not appropriate.
No.
Because we got Chop Chop over there, speaking of. Chop Chop didn't get the rest of it in all caps. Just
right.
Chop Chop and Plunk. Then we got all caps for Screaming.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Jesse meant to say, if God supposedly made the earth and Adam and Eve in the first 6 days of the week, how could dinosaurs have been here thousands of years before we were?
Wow.
I'm from Loomis.
Jesse, you really cracked something there. I do feel like if they're going to do all caps, it should be for the like musings ones more so than for the poems for exactly that reason.
Sure.
So, yeah, the screaming choice is a bad one.
But... I feel like Jesse just totally undid the Bible, and congratulations to her.
Jesse,
yeah, Jesse knew what she was up to. Yeah.
Jesse took this straight to her parents and were like, and that's why I don't think I should have to go to church anymore. Finally, Sylvia Fuster from Bronxville, New York asks, when you lose weight, where does it go? Where does all your weight go? When it's lost its way home.
I hope it finds that other girl's hips where it belongs.
Because I did wonder about this at a much older age than I should have. But
it goes back to the guff, and that's how they make new babies.
That's right. You excrete it in pee, poo, your sweat, and breath.
Yep.
You might find someday you have fat breath.
What's the matter, Pam? Pam, say it.
What's a guff?
What's a guff? A guff is the Jewish tradition of where souls of children come from when they're born. So like you wait in the guff for a baby vessel. I mean, I'm totally butchering it. But then like, you know, so when you have a baby, they take a baby from the guff and they stick it inside of what you're birthing. And that's your kid.
Sort of like limbo.
Kind of like pre-limbo.
Does guff begin at conception?
No, guff begins way before conception.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've guffed. Ovaries?
I don't know how to respond to that.
Thank you.
Next time, We'll be talking about the pop culture topics of the August 1989 issue. Reviews of Do the Right Thing, 10,000 Maniacs, a Charlie Sheen Q&A from Before We All Knew He Was Crazy, a one to watch near and very dear to David T. Cole's heart, and more. Speaking of pop culture, we just put up the poll for our August Watch Along. It's a selection of TV movies. There's some real gems in this one. All of these aired in August 1989. So please go, if you are a member of Listen to Sassy Club, patreon.com/listentosassy or listentosassy.com/club to become a member for only $5 and vote in that poll. Tell us what we will be watching. For my plug this week, more Friends apologies we deserve. Marta Kaufman, the co-creator of Friends, has been apologizing lately for the lack of diversity on the show, for the generally everything around the portrayal of Chandler's parent who was transgender. I made a list of some other things about Friends that she should be apologizing for, and that is at Vanity Fair. We'll link it in the show notes.
All right, everybody, it's time to get on Discord. Discord. One of the many Listen to Sassy Club perks. And if you've been intimidated by this whole Discord Patreon synergy thing, I'm hosting a Zoom class to help you get on board. It's not that hard, so it shouldn't take too long, 5-10 minutes. Right now, we're asking people to go to the link in your show notes and then sign up for a time or all the times that you can make, and then we'll find some communal times for everybody. Show up, I'll walk you through it, and then bam, you're on.
You can find out more about our podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info at listentosassy.com. We're going to be taking the August 89 quiz in a couple of weeks, but you can take it now at sassy.com and rate your moodiness. Then give us a call at 720-SASSY-GO and let us know how's it going or any other sassy-related topic that's on your mind, and we may play it in a future episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
And I said goodbye to Regina, hold for giggles, and I never lived there again.
You exited Regina?
I did.
You pulled out?
I did.
Regina birthed her into a new world.
Yes.
It did. And I moved to Niagara, where Dave also lived, but we would not meet for 6 more years. Something like
good
that.
Good thing, too, because you sound like a real nerd right now.
No.
What? Now? As well, opposed to,
like,
when?
You're either like playing the triangle or you're crying because you can't be in band. That's all you're doing right now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Playing the triangle. I never played the triangle.
Oh, I thought you did.
You really don't pay attention when I talk at all. It's
well,
remarkable.
I know you did the recorder.
What?
Recorder.
No.
You used to play the recorder.
The recorder?
I think you're thinking of Lisa Simpson.
No.
You're always bragging. You knew how to play the recorder, and this is the recorder, and this is the difference between a recorder. You've never played the recorder.
No.
Who are you?
I mean, everyone played the recorder because it's such an easy one to learn. Everyone has the plastic ones at school.
When you're in band, you're on what? The xylophone?
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Kettle drum?
You're just showing your ignorance.
Kettlebell? Were you on the kettlebell?
I did play the xylophone. I played bells, which is another keyboard percussion instrument. Bells. And I played the flute and occasionally the piccolo.
Bells aren't an instrument.
They're not. They're just called that. They're like, it's a metal keyboard that you strike with mallets.
I see. I played the chimes.
Why did you bring this up?
I don't know. Why are you so angry?
Why are you so mean?
I can think of a reason, Dave.
Dave's like,
she agreed with me. She said she was angry and crying.
We've gone deep into our lives over the past year, month by
two
painful
years.
Month.
It's been like 18 months.
What is time? And the fact that you are unable to narrow down what she was banding about in and with is offensive.
All right.
It's fine if you don't care. It's just like, now I know. So we'll proceed from here.
Great.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.